I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Live from New York. That was too much. It's the show that's starting to believe a little bit in Luka Doncic. A little bit.
The show? Right. Who was your MVP?
Luka Doncic.
Who was my MVP?
Luka Doncic.
You have him out in the first round. How much do you believe in the guy?
That's a regular season award. How many times do I have to tell you that?
Do you believe in him enough to beat your Clippers?
Well, the Clippers are legit.
Are they?
Yeah, they are. Okay. Don't be fooled by last night.
First things first.
Well, Miles is spicy already. I'm saying I believe in him, and you guys start yelling at me.
You said the show is starting
as if the show didn't already. He's my child,
two-thirds of the show believes in him already.
Thank you.
Now, granted, the Cowboys didn't go all in, but are they going all in the draft? Strong maybe.
That's what he meant.
Meanwhile, Peyton Manning puts his reporter cap on, Brew.
Yeah.
Says the Broncos are interested in J.J. McCarthy. Can J.J. challenge Mahomes and Herbert in the AFC West? Just say it out loud. Doesn't make any sense. And finally, a special Game 3 edition, graphicless, of the best segment in all of sports, NBA Tears. Alongside Chris Broussard, I'm Kevin Wild. I like this. We're like, ooh, this is a spooky episode.
Oh, wow.
First things first.
Everything's going out.
I like it. Yeah. Maybe just a shot of me. And we're back. Nick, any surprises on the tiers?
Yeah, a ton. Changes at the top and the bottom. And the committee turned on me.
Oh.
About time.
We'll see. The committee turned on me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard it was ugly from my source.
Oh, shut up.
We started
sorry.
In L.A. Luka roared and Kawhi was back, at least in spirit. He ends the night with 15 points in a low-scoring affair for the defensive-minded Mavericks, who take the W and hold the Clips to 93, bro. Take a look at the Mavs' defense. Nick has been talking about this. I said these graphics were fake. Turns out, I had Josh double-checking there. Pretty good on defense. 16-2 when Luka and Kyrie play. Defensive rating, the best. And Mavs' last 22 games. So, Brew, with the series tied, has your confidence in your Clippers wavered?
Wavered? On the contrary.
Oh.
I am emboldened.
Don't do this to yourself.
I believe more in the Clippers now than I have in the last 2.5 months.
Because of Kawhi?
Kawhi's, did you see him on the court?
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's on the court. That's the key. He was on the court. He wasn't on the bench. What'd you expect? Him to come out and drop 40?
No.
He's been off
more than
for
15.
Almost a month.
Okay.
Now, first half, he's getting used to the speed of the game, getting his rhythm, getting used to the offense, everything, all that. Second half, he begins to look a little bit more like Kawhi. I get it. Only 15 points, 4 steals. That's good. But only 15 points. But in the second half, third quarter, 8 points, he started to look like Kawhi. That has me excited. And secondly, there's 3 things. Second thing, James Harden.
Oh.
He was James Harden.
I can't believe
it. I know he didn't have an awesome game.
I can't believe it.
But what I liked is that he wasn't tentative. He wasn't running from the basketball. He was aggressive, went to the foul line 9 times, hit 8 of them. Okay. All right? He didn't turn the ball. I think only had 1 turnover. Wasn't turning the ball.
I can't believe
that's my problem with Harden. It's not that you can have an off night shooting the basketball.
Yeah.
Don't get tentative on me.
Okay.
Don't run from the rock.
I mean,
don't start making crazy
turnovers. He was 2 for 10 from 3.
That's fine. You have everybody has bad.
It also,
we've seen Steph have bad
it
nights.
Also was
but
game
he was
two,
aggressive.
He's
got 3 reasons.
The third reason.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah,
I didn't realize.
You like to talk about the Mavericks defense.
Uh-huh.
How about the Clippers defense?
How about it?
These last 2 games, they have held Dallas under 100 points. Hard to do when Doncic and Kyrie Irving are on the other side.
All right. This
so,
is insane.
I can live with this 1-1. Yeah, I'm feeling good.
So if you're tuning in, the Clippers did lose.
That's fine. I expect
and
a long,
the home team.
Yeah. Hard fought
series. Last night, the playoffs started for 2 series.
I didn't expect a sweep.
So, listen, I'm shocked that Brew is tripling down. Shocked. Because I really, and I don't say this facetiously at all, I mean it seriously, I deeply respect Brew's basketball analysis, and I'm shocked he's this wrong on this series. Because obviously the Clippers are in massive trouble, and it's going to be 3-1 when we get back to Los Angeles for Game 5. And now let's talk about the team that actually won for a moment. And let me use a phrase that the kids on the internet use that I typically don't like, but I'm going to use it today. Hey, everybody, let the praise be as loud as the hate when it comes to Luka Doncic's defense.
They're going to do a Fortnite thing.
Let's talk about a guy who has been a legitimate lockdown defender this series and who this season took massive leaps in that regard.
He wasn't locked down, but he was good. The season
he was not locked down. He was better. And in this series, he's been excellent. Last night, he was in a series with Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, he was the most impactful defender. And in the fourth quarter, he rejected double teams and said, no, leave me one-on-one and let me put in work. And he forced damn near two air balls, one from a guy that Brew is somehow emboldened by his play when he is just struggling to make any progress towards the basket and then puts up this weak shot attempt. And then he does it to Paul George. And so, and this is the other thing I want to remind everyone of. Luka, it's like, oh, Luka's scored, 32 and 33 in this series. Yeah. And this series has lowered his career scoring average against Kawhi Leonard and Paul George in the playoffs. Luka Doncic against the Clippers in the playoffs. Jordan against the Cavs. Elgin against the Pistons are the only guys to ever average more in a series, or not in a series, but in the playoffs against a single opponent. And that is under this context. Luka has been the betting underdog in every series of his career, and they have been the road team in every series of his career except for one, the one against the Jazz a couple years ago, when he missed the first two home games. He's never had a home court advantage. He's never been the favorite. Now he has both. He's the favorite, and they've stolen home court, and he's got his best teammate, and we're yet to have the inevitable Harden meltdown game or two. So I can't believe this Mavericks team, I'm not picking it. This Mavericks team can make the finals. They absolutely can't. What do you mean how?
How can they make the finals?
Well, they can.
Are you picking it?
Well, look, the winner of this series should win the next series. With all due respect to OKC.
That's no due respect to OKC. That is
no, but they're too young. We've never seen this in the NBA. Like a team this young that is just your first go-round and you get to the conference finals or the finals.
We've seen a team this young get to the conference finals.
Durant knows that.
Exactly.
But they're going to, but they had also had some a little bit of growing pain.
Sure.
All right, this team hasn't had any of that.
So next round.
He would pick them against OKC.
The winner of this plays OKC.
Yeah. So if the Mavs come out of it, which would break your heart, you would still pick the Mavs.
Well, Luka was my MVP choice.
Right. Yeah, we got a lot.
It wouldn't crush my heart.
No, it would crush. It would crush your.
You know, I think the Clippers got some.
Okay, I think you're nuts.
Brew, are you worried about the incoming 40-point game from Luka, or do you think that's not going to happen?
Luka's averaged 33, and they haven't hit 100.
Yeah,
well, I'm telling you. Look, did you see Ty Lue? You all did see pretty chill. Pretty chill.
Really chill.
He was happier than me.
It's true.
He was more excited than
that
me.
Did
he
hit
saw
my radar.
Something. Right.
This isn't
the Darvin Ham.
He was like joking
I saw
around
something.
About
and you didn't watch the press. That made me even more. That was my fourth thing that made me emboldened.
Here's the 3-point percentage. I guess a reporter said, hey, you're not gonna be able to stay that hot, and everybody went cold. Ty Lue was just laughing about it. He seemed beyond stress-free.
Because he sees something. He sees what I see.
And you know what I saw? Preening, jawing, screaming Luka Doncic. My favorite version of him. Okay. Where he is getting technicals. He does the Draymond thing as well as anyone other than Draymond, which is, let's get the first technical out of the way so I can really MF everyone the entire game. He was screaming at the crowd, screaming at the opponent, screaming at his teammates, doing the whole thing. And that might be, I understand it's annoying to some people. I get that because it annoys me when it's Draymond. It's partly because when it's coming from Mr. Triple Single rather than Mr. 30-point triple-double, it just registers differently. But it's how he gets, it's how he plays the best. And he was a killer in the clutch last night. Yeah. That's undeniable. And let me ask you this, Brew, before I move on. Of everyone in this series, that given health of everyone in this series, who are the two guys you trust the most down the stretch of a tight game?
They're the Mavericks.
Two guys on the Mavs.
I'll give you that.
Yes.
Kawhi's pretty good.
Let me tell you what's happening.
Because,
well,
because
with
he
the
was
health,
with the Raptors? With the
let me tell you. Well, he's clutch. Yeah, he's, what's happening with Luka defensively, quickly. When you first get in the league as a young star or supposed to be a star, you want to establish yourself as that superstar, but you're not really winning. And then you start getting a little criticism. You put up numbers, but you don't win. You're missing out on MVPs. Oh, great numbers, but you don't win. Then you say, okay, I got to start winning. And Luka has realized I got to be better defensively.
Yep.
LeBron and Jordan and Jokic even, all these guys that win, they do it defensively too. Not, he doesn't have to be great. Jokic isn't great. But you put forth the effort and you really try, and that actually makes your teammates better defenders when they see the best offensive player.
He also probably quit smoking in the offseason, which probably helps. I mean, he played 45 minutes into the season.
He's still not fast.
I mean, but maybe the cardio's a little better.
Head up to Minnesota where the Suns' big three netted a total of 52 points, 18 for KD. Booker had 20 and 6 turnovers because they don't have a point guard. And then Bradley Beal had 14 and 4 turnovers. Again, yeah, no point guard. Here's Booker and KD. That's a bad one.
Don't count us out. You know, it's a series for a reason. You know, I don't think any road team's won so far. You know, I know that doesn't have anything to do with us, but, you know, it's just a situation that it is.
I can't give up on us right now. We need them more than anything. I know it's been disappointing last couple games, even the season, been too, you know, for our fans, but we need you more than ever now, coming back home for game 3.
Oh, I like that. So, last time they were down 0-2 was against the Nuggets, and both KD and Booker exploded.
Yeah.
Do you remember?
And 41 for Booker on average. Yeah. So, that's pretty good. They won both of those games and then eventually lost. So, the question we have here, Brew, is are the Suns done? And you can take it in a number of ways. Is the series done, or is the Suns' idea, this Ishbia microwave championship team, done?
Well, look, I think Minnesota's going to win the series. I think they're the better team. The size is and the physicality. I've said it about Durant. Physical play can bother him. Mm-hmm. And last night, 6 for 15.
Remember
and
Jaden
McDaniels. Yes.
Remember Ant-Man's quote? They were like,
I guess he was serious.
Yeah, they said, you've got Kevin Durant. He's like, we got Jaden McDaniels.
Yeah, he wasn't joking.
Yeah, they got Durant, but we got McDaniels. And last night, 25 points, Jaden. The thing is, Cat didn't need 12 points last night.
Well, he's fouling all the time.
I know. Well, and that's been a problem of his. But he and Edwards haven't really gotten – Edwards' first game. Mm-hmm. Second game last night, Edwards wasn't going. So, I'm not – they're not as done – I'm not even trying to start nothing – as the Lakers. Like, they have a shot.
I get what you're saying.
I'm serious. Like, Lakers, we feel like, are out of it.
Well,
they're going to lose the Suns. But it's not like, oh, this is completely over.
They were 3-0 in the series, in the regular season series. They've got a chance.
Now,
the Nuggets are 10.
Oh, really? They play 10.
The Lakers are 0-10.
Okay, let's stay on the series if we may.
As far as that's the micro.
Okay.
Macro, they should be done. But one, you know, next year their payroll is over $200 million. Okay, it's the highest in the league. Bradley Beal has like 3 years, $160 million left on his deal.
With a no trade.
Right. So who's trading for that? That's going to be tough to, right?
And he has no trade.
And what they made their mistake when they traded for Beal, and I'm not even trying to diss him, but he only played 53 games, but that's not even the issue. You said it. They don't have a point guard. And I made this point months ago. They are the worst fourth quarter team in the league. Yeah. They're so bad in the fourth that their margin of their point differential is in the negative. It is more than twice as bad as the second worst fourth quarter team. All right? And it's because they don't have a point guard. A point guard isn't a guy that just can get assists because he gets double teamed. Booker is a great two guard. Yeah. Durant's a great three. They can bring the ball up, same with Beal, and pass it and get assists. But a point guard directs traffic, controls tempo, gets it to the hot hand, to the right guy, where you want it in your spot. They have none of that. And that's what they have to try. They would be better with Chris Paul. And yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, if they hadn't made the trade, they'd have been better off with Chris Paul.
Listen, even though this series is yet to officially begin, I don't think the Suns can come back. And so I want to talk about Kevin Durant. Because I can't find across sports a real athlete comp for this career arc. So I want to do a bit, even though Wild's off the air will do a weird voice and make fun of me for doing this, a bit of history here. Oh. Year 3 for Kevin Durant.
Mm-hmm.
He was second in MVP voting. Over the next 5 years, he went second, fifth, second, second, first, and then was injured. 5 straight years, first-team All-NBA. From that moment forward, he's been first-team All-NBA one time. He's finished top 5 in the MVP voting one time. His playoff career was Western Conference Finals, then in the finals at age 23, then in the Western Conference Finals again a couple years later, then the 3-1 lead in the Conference Finals a couple years after that, then the 3 years with Golden State, and then since then.
But it's been a lot of injuries. I mean, that's
I get that. But so here's the – if you remember – the second round series against Houston, that when he pulled his calf muscle, which led to the Achilles. Think about how long ago that was. It's 2019. Kevin Durant has won 13 playoff games since then. He has been a part of 13 playoff wins, not series, wins since then. So here's the reason I set that table. A couple years ago, I didn't get in an argument, but I got in a back and forth with, I think, a brilliant NBA guy and a guy I adore in Zach Lowe. Because Zach Lowe just kind of said flippantly, Kevin Durant is one of the 10 greatest players ever. And I was like, no. But now I'm starting to wonder, is Kevin Durant going to finish as one of the 20 greatest players ever? Because that would have been unfathomable 5 years ago to say he wasn't. So let me show you something here, because I put people in groups, Brew. So there's 9. Those are the 9 I talked about the other day. And it's not in order, but just think about it. There's 9 there. Then there's another group ahead of him. Those 6 guys are all unquestionably ahead of him. Now we're at 15. Then the group of guys with KD, like, who is he going to pass and who is going to pass him? Because if Kevin Durant does not finish as one of the 20 greatest players ever, it's one of the biggest upsets, one of the biggest, like, where he was tracking towards the moment he signed up to play for Golden State or the moment he left Golden State to right now. Like, it is just shocking that we're now at a 6-year run. A 6-year run of him not having a relevant postseason moment is shocking. Shocking.
Golden State is, that's just the key to this whole thing. If he doesn't go there, there's a great chance he doesn't even have a ring. All right, now maybe he would have went to Boston, would he have won there? But let's say he would have stayed in OKC. Maybe he doesn't have a ring. From what I've seen since then, and I'm going to give him, look, there's been a lot of injuries, not just to him, but his teammates. We joke about Brooklyn. They were hurt all the time. They never really had their big three together. Even here with Phoenix, you got a lot of injuries and stuff. But he doesn't probably, good chance he doesn't have a ring, and that's what would have moved him down. So that saves him. But had he stayed in Golden State and had, what, 4, maybe 5 rings, he would have probably been top 10 then. So it's such an interesting thing.
But, like, when
thing
it comes from just his ability as a basketball player and how great – he was the best player on a finalist at 23 years old. Like, that doesn't happen. LeBron did it. He did it. It typically does not happen. He was so great immediately, and his first-team All-NBA for a half decade, unquestioned. There was a real debate, him or LeBron, during LeBron's prime. I didn't think it was a real debate, but it was close. It is just odd to me, this career arc the last 6 years, and I know KD hates these discussions, and I apologize, but I
All right, so quickly, do you want to break up this Suns team now?
There's nothing to do. There's nowhere to go.
It's hard to break it up.
You're going to make the voice. They're a second apron team, so there's certain things they can't do. Right. Ishbia wants to win now. They have no picks. They just don't have flexibility. They're just going to run this back. And why would the result be different?
I mean, could they trade Kevin Durant, for a bunch of young picks?
Should the Suns start over, yeah.
But they should keep Booker. Could you start around Booker again?
It's hard to start over with Booker on a max and Beal on maybe the worst contract in the league.
Virtually untradeable.
Tough one.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's head to Milwaukee where the Pacers even the series at one. Behind 37 from Siakam. He looked unstoppable at points. Dame had 26 in the first half and then 8 in the second. Here's Bobby Portis's hot take on the Pacers. I loved it.
Quite frankly, they front runners, bro. Y'all can just tweet that whatever it is, bro. I mean, when it's going good, they y'all we laugh and clap and all that. When it's going bad, then they not saying nothing. So I think stick to answer the question. Guys always feel good when they having a good game and hitting shots. Everybody, I think that's just, you know, human nature.
I love Bobby Portis. All right, Giannis update. Shams saying today on Run It Back, still not much cutting, no scrimmaging, and no all-out running. No running.
Yeah, I think they're going to have to win the series without him, based on that report. I didn't this morning. I was like, yeah, maybe back by game six. Based on that, I don't. All right, so two things. One is, can someone guard Pascal Siakam?
No.
Can somebody guard Pascal Siakam? Bobby.
I mean, they can't guard.
Well,
they're big. They guard inside. They're slow.
I get it. Okay. Well, you can't, even if you can't guard, Pascal Siakam can't be putting up literal Wilt Chamberlain numbers. The 35 and 10 and just open a playoff series. You can't do it. And then can Doc make an adjustment, please? What? No?
Two
no's.
I mean,
No? So it's just two no's. There's just no. Vegas says the series is a coin flip right now. I think that's probably right. I think the Bucks have to right now anticipate that if they're going to win the series, it's going to be without Giannis. And that Dame's going to have to keep doing what he's doing, and they're going to have to start defending.
Which is disappearing in the second half.
He didn't disappear so much in the second half.
He's had 8 points.
He had zero in the first one.
In the second half. So it's basically a full game. He's had two second halves. I mean, it's something. You guys just
look at the field goal percentage. They're not winning this. I don't think they're winning the series without Giannis. All right, I mean, I picked the Pacers once Giannis was hurt, and I thought he'd play all but maybe two games at that point. I picked the Pacers. They are too fast, and they play at too high of a pace for the Bucks to keep up with them. And you asked about Siakam. Who's going to really guard him on the perimeter, as a wing? Their wings aren't athletic.
Should have been that guy talking.
Portis?
Yeah.
I mean, Portis is a great – he's a very good player, but he's a big guy. He's not going to be able to stay in front of Siakam. You know, and here's the thing. You're right. I don't expect Siakam to average 36, but – Tyrese Halliburton hadn't gotten going. He's averaging 10. He's not even shooting, which is fine because he's getting everybody else involved. But he's averaged, I think he took, 10 shots last night? 7 in game one. So he's going to pick it up at some point and make up for Siakam's inevitable comeback to earth.
Who do you have in this series?
The Bucks.
Okay. You've got the Pacers?
You got the Pacers.
Yeah. Me too.
Okay. Who do you have?
You got?
I got the Pacers.
Is
Dallas?
Yeah. Because I remember you bringing a deer out.
That was 3 years ago.
No, that was
for
that 13
was
months
year.
Ago.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Jerry Jones met with the media to address a few outstanding question marks about the Cowboys, contract extensions, roster moves, and the draft. Take a listen.
Candidly, without any way being defensive, we're very proud of our personnel, very proud of this roster. How do we feel about where we've been in this free agency? We feel great about what we've been in free agency. All in. All in. All in. We're all in with these young guys coming up. And we're all in with this draft.
What? Meanwhile, Mike McCarthy's like, my God, I hope we get one of these running backs. It'd be great to add it to the room, but I don't believe that these draft picks are just absolutely starters. I don't understand any of this. All in, Derrick Henry's on the Ravens. So, Nick, your reaction. Coach Mangini's here.
No,
hi, Coach.
Thanks.
I need to make sense of this.
I can't believe I think this word is overused and misused, but I think this is accurate here. I think Jerry Jones is gaslighting us, guys. Oh. I think Jerry Jones is doing a couple things. One is changing the definition of what all-in has always meant in terms of sports and what it means, particularly if you state it right before a free agency period begins. I think that's happening. And I think Jerry Jones is, Brew, dealing with the fact that the Cowboys kind of already went all-in on the last couple years. That's the fact that they owe Dak Prescott $29 million of cash for the rest of his contract, but $96 million of cap charges shows they've been borrowing from the future all for, and they have nothing to show for it.
Right.
So they have to act like, no, we're still doing it, but they're boxed in by Dak's cap hit. They're boxed in by the no trade. They're boxed in by all these things. And so he wants to say they're all in without doing anything, which is just flatly not accurate to what is going on.
Yeah, I think what he means by all in, and this is maybe what you're alluding to, changing the definition, we're all in this year. And if it doesn't work, which I think is probably at least the NFC title game, if we don't get there, now, they're S-Bob. Just because he wants to change it,
thank you.
They're S-Bob. All right.
Yeah.
But if we don't get at least an NFC title game, I think it's looking like he's going to start all over, maybe offensively. Yeah. All right. And so as far as McCarthy, yeah, McCarthy knows I'm on a lame duck contract. My defensive coordinator's on a lame duck contract. I've lost a lot of my offensive linemen. We only have 4 draft picks in the top 170. I get it. They seem, you know, you watch the whole press conference, they seem to believe in their drafts of the past and these guys are going to step up and be good starters. But McCarthy sees the writing on the wall. He sees the depth chart with Rico Dowdell on there and like, wow, I need a running back. And so I wonder, did he say that next to Jerry? That quote, or later on when he was by himself?
Oh, I'm not
I don't
sure.
know. It was on their website.
I don't think it was.
But look at the running back room. So they've got Deuce Vaughn, Rico Dowdell, and Royce Freeman combined 214 carries.
Fresh.
214 touches.
Oh, touches.
Tony Pollard last year had over 300 touches. Now, if you compare that to 2 years ago where they had Pollard and Zeke, those guys had 414 carries in the same year, 1,800 yards, and 21 touchdowns. And now they're looking at Dowdell, Freeman, and Deuce Vaughn. Of course, McCarthy's like, I hope we get a running back. But he's right. When you look at this group of running backs, it's not as strong as it has historically been. Mm. But running backs, you can get guys later in the draft.
That's
guys
not their biggest problem is lack of running.
That's a pretty big problem, though.
Because I don't think they have the quarterback that's just going to carry the team.
But
that's
think about 2 years ago when they had Zeke and Tony Pollard, and now we're talking about these three guys, and you're sitting there, I hope we hit on a running back in the draft. So to say you're all in on the draft, you better be. You better be, especially at that position. You got to compliment Dak with something.
So, listen, this is where I'll disagree with you guys. The Cowboys have legitimate issues. I don't think the running back room is going to be a problem for them.
Why?
Okay? Because here's why.
If this is the team.
I do think they're going to draft somebody in some round.
And he's just going to be good automatically?
I think that they had the highest scoring team in the league last year with bad running back play. That's what I think.
Tony Pollard wasn't bad.
He averaged 4 yards a carry and 5.7 yards a catch.
Right, which is to me more about their offense. And now you can say their offensive line's not going to be as good because Tyron Smith's gone, Biotis is gone, the offensive line. I think they had, and I think Pollard's free agency period post-Dallas proved this out, replacement-level running back play, and the offense hummed. I don't think their problem is going – you can find running backs in this league. Their problem is not that they didn't sign Derrick Henry. Their problem is what we're going to get to, that all their best players need new contracts, and they don't seem to have the money to do it.
Well,
that's their problem.
You can find guys to run the ball.
That's all Tony Pollard
I know a Pro Bowl isn't what he used to be, but he averaged more than 5 yards for his career. Last year when he did have to be the main guy, no Zeke, he wasn't as good. But he still was pretty good.
Didn't have a hard time in free agency. Seemed to get signed pretty quickly for a terrible back.
Also, I didn't say he was terrible, Coach. I didn't say he was terrible. But I don't think that
– You said he was replacement
level. I think you can find Tony Pollard's. I do. I think that everybody falls in love with the change of pace back because the yards per carry are high because of the way they're used and they're always fresh. And then they become your every down guy and you're like, oh, he's not that good. And with him as their every down guy, the offense in the regular season last year was the highest scoring in football. So I don't think that was their problem.
Well,
that's the good news,
have to find both now.
What? Well, now one of those guys could be their change of pace back, whether it's Deuce or Rico Dowdle. One of those guys could do that.
All right, well, how about the stars who are currently on the team? Well, here's Jerry with the rare poker and landscaping metaphor. Take a listen.
Who in the world would think that we're not working on it? I work on it. It pops open at 2 in the morning sometimes. What you're actually question is why don't you have something done and negotiated and put in the drawer? Well, we'd like to see some more leaves fall. We'd like to see some more action. It'd be madness not to know that the contracts are ahead. I want to see a few more cards played.
Okay, well, the cards played this afternoon, Brew. Amon-Ra St. Brown just signed for 120, most wide receiver guaranteed money ever at 77. So CeeDee Lamb said, oh, that's nice. And just statistically, CeeDee Lamb led him in all categories, like every single one. So there's that.
Well, look, I think they're definitely going to sign CeeDee and Micah. The only caveats would be if it goes, you could let CeeDee play it out this year. And if it doesn't go well, are you saying we're starting over offensively and we don't need a high-priced wide receiver? Maybe. Micah, if the reports, you know, about some people in the organization would like it if he's gone, maybe they want to see him mature. I'm not saying they want to get rid of him, but Micah, you whatever it is, you got to mature, whatever they're looking for, before we give you this money. So I guess those are the two caveats I'd say, but I expect him to get signed.
So he has a ton of quotes, right? So the leaves are falling, the cards are being played. He talks about being an option quarterback. All in. Mm-hmm. I mean, it goes on and on. And he talks about the credit card. Let me show you the quote that the Dallas Cowboys fans only need to look at. This is all you need to know about the Dallas Cowboys this year. I just want to try to be good enough to work through this and us have a winning season, which we have a chance to have. That is who the Cowboys are this year. The card's falling. He's going to look. Where does CeeDee Lamb play out? Where does Micah Parsons play out? Where does Mike McCarthy play out? He's going to let all that stuff happen without spending a lot of money. And then at the end of the year, then they're going to recalibrate. And
Think they'll have a contract going into the season?
I think that this is the most truthful statement he said.
Wow.
Is that they are going to let this thing play out, hopefully make the playoffs, which he thinks he can, because they've got to repay the credit card. And then at the end of the year, whoever's worth keeping around, great. Whoever's not, they're going to move on.
So I think that's about the coach and the quarterback, not about CeeDee and Micah. So I disagree with you there. I think CeeDee and Micah will both get deals, which this, to me, is the fair criticism of the Cowboys. Waiting, it'd be one thing if it's like, you know what, haven't seen enough from CeeDee Lamb. Don't know if he's good enough. Like, if it truly was, we're going to watch more football be played.
Yeah.
But waiting later in the offseason, here's what I believe he is saying. Justin Jefferson is going to sign a new deal, which will set a ceiling of all the wide receiver deals, similar to what Aaron Donald did with D tackles a while ago, which was everyone knew he's the best, so you don't have to beat it. The problem is deals like Amon-Ra St. Brown. The problem is guys that your guy is better than will also sign deals in the interim. You know, a team who I criticize some of their drafting, and I certainly criticize their coach, but whose front office knows what they're doing is the Eagles. You know what they did? They had Devontae Smith, and last week they got him for 3 for $75 because they got him early. They paid him early, so he took a bit of a discount because he got the security of it, and you keep it moving. But when you have from CeeDee's draft class the following people potentially getting deals, not just Justin Jefferson. Brandon Ayuk, CeeDee's better than him. T. Higgins, CeeDee's better than him. So all of these deals, CeeDee is going to have to exceed, and now also Amon-Ra St. Brown, who CeeDee is better than. It's a bananas way to manage your cap, and it's why they're in this position. They're in this position because they did the same thing with Dak. We need to wait, we need to wait, we need to wait, and then you decided you were going to sign him anyway, and he got a no trade, no tag, and you're in this position. Well, that part they do poorly.
But it's also when you use the credit card, at some point you got to pay the bill.
I agree with that.
They got to pay the Dak bill, and so they've got to see. Now, where do these guys – this season is going to be about let's hope we can get to the playoffs, see what happens, And then we'll
then
be
those
all,
guys will just get be more
all
expensive.
In next. They're going to be more expensive, but there's no money. I mean, at some point the money runs out.
I'm going to take the under on the Cowboys win total just on this segment alone. J.J. McCarthy to Denver.
Wow. Take the under on the Broncos win total if that happens.
Only about 5.5. What's it at?
Well, not low enough.
Denver Broncos currently have a quarterback room of Zach Wilson and Jarrett the Javelin Stidham. Also sitting at 12 in the draft, and Peyton Manning reported that they like J.J. McCarthy. Take a listen.
Impressive to talk to, and I know Denver's very interested in him, and it sounded like, you know, this is a place he'd love to come to, so, but it's a little bit out of his control.
Okay. You like this?
Oh, please trade up for J.J.
You don't think he'll be there?
No!
I do.
At 12?
Yeah.
I'll bet you, I'll give you 5-1 on any amount of money. I'll give you 5-1 right now.
I think he's going to fall.
There is no, okay, we can talk about it off the air. There is no chance J.J. McCarthy's available at 12. Whether or not he should be is a different story. There's no chance. And so you'd have to trade up to get him. And please mortgage your future for J.J. McCarthy, Sean Payton. Probably have to trade with you guys. Probably have to trade with
so
New England.
Why is there no chance?
Because the entire idea behind the Vikings getting an extra first-round pick was to move up to get a quarterback. Their first-round pick is at 11. Somehow, if they don't move up to draft J.J. McCarthy, they are certainly drafting him at 11. So there is no chance he is there at 12. None. The Bo Nix, Michael Penix part of the draft, quarterback-wise, are the people we're talking about at 12. So, yeah, listen, Sean Payton is drafting a quarterback. He is not going into his second season drawing dead at the quarterback position. So they'll probably, you either overdraft Bo Nix or you trade up to draft somebody else. And I think it'd be a terrible move, but because, you know, for my entire life, I've disliked the Broncos and their arrival, I hope they make bad moves. But that's where I stand.
I said it yesterday. Go have a conversation with ownership. We're going to be bad this year.
Mm-hmm. Brood wants them to be the worst team
but
in the league.
But Shedeur Sanders.
That's not a plan.
What?
Being the worst team in the football is not a plan. You can't just say we're going
this
to be the worst team in the league.
This is a plan? And I'm not as down on J.J. McCarthy as you. I think he's more athletic than people give him credit for. You know, he's got ability.
Sure.
But is that a great situation for him? And if it's not, now you're locked into him for a few years, and Shedeur and others are going to go away. So, look, they're not going to be any good this year.
We got to look at the quarterback room and just pull it up. And I know we mentioned it, but when you really look at the quarterback room, they got to do something. So Stidham, he's played 5 years, only started 4 games.
Some people used to
Zach, start Zach Wilson only played, and
Zach's only won 12 games, and he's lost 33, and we've seen that's a pretty good cross-section of play. And then you got DiNucci, who started 1 game in 2020. So and of course, you've
got
Russell Wilson's $55 million is sitting in the room, too, of dead money. So you have to figure it out. Now, the issue is they don't have a second-round draft pick because they gave that up for Sean Payton when they got him, the first round last year, the second round this year. The problem is if you don't love the guy, if you don't really believe that guy can come in and start, then you're just in a different version of what's in the rest of that room.
Yes.
So there has to be a conviction that guy can come and do it.
You have a question?
Sure.
Herbert and Mahomes are right there. Are they drafting J.J. McCarthy supposedly in this world and think that he's going to be better than those guys or on par with those guys? Or otherwise, Sean Payton's like, I'm cool with having the third worst quarterback in AFC West.
Sean's got to do something. Sean was brought there to fix Russell Wilson, and he didn't. Sean was brought there to fix some of the other offensive problems, and he didn't. So now he's got to go and legitimize this idea that he is a quarterback guru, and he's got to take some young talent and make it work. Otherwise, you're paying $20 million a year for 2 years. You've got all this dead money for a quarterback you're supposed to make work, and you've given up a first and second round draft pick, and now you've got nothing? How do you justify that?
The Broncos are in a spot where they're either going to have to mortgage future draft capital to move up to get a quarterback or take the fifth or sixth quarterback off the board. That's what's happening tomorrow night. One of those two
but
things.
But if you don't believe that McCarthy is that much better than Penix or
yeah, that's fine. Then you're going to wait.
And you sit and wait, and you don't mortgage the
future. You don't mortgage
all
the
future. All they've been doing is mortgaging the future.
Agreed. But
and
then
it's been
you,
horrible.
But then you also end up with the fifth quarterback off the board. And the last time a fifth quarterback went in the first round, his name was Mac Jones.
Yeah, I mean, there's other Mac good Jones quarterbacks late in draft.
Playoffs.
Head up to New England, where the Patriots are collectively trying to decide what to do at three. Now, to be kind, let's just say the decision-making process, a little murky. Robert Kraft said, as a fan, because, you know, he's a fan before he's the owner of the Patriots, he wants to get a QB. And Elliot Wolf, who's the acting GM, because he hasn't been given the job
yet. Yes, they interview for it after the draft.
Yeah, after the draft. So he knows that, and he's supposed to be the decision-maker. Mm-hmm. Now, there's also a report that Jonathan Kraft
What's his background?
Quote, heavily involved. Well, he's part of six Super Bowls. He knows what he's doing. Heavily involved in decision-making. But Tom Curran said, no, it's more business as usual. So it's a bit of a mess. Nick, your reaction?
Nobody knows what they're doing. Listen, here's the downside. There is a downside to having a power vacuum, right? You have Bill Belichick, who runs everything. You push him out while smearing him in a documentary. Right? That's part of the process here to make sure proper credit is given for this dynasty. We all know, I guess, it starts with Kraft and his kid. And now folks have to do the jobs Bill was doing. So Gerard Mayo is going to be the head coach, and I wish Gerard luck. He's blank slate. You have no idea. Like, to me, he's the same resume essentially D'Amico had. D'Amico's done a great job, but we also his same resume Antonio Pierce had. I don't know if Antonio's going to do a great job, just, you know, linebackers for your team. Great, no problem. But then who's going to run things? Who's going to do personnel? Well, Robert Kraft's kid decided Ron Wolf's kid's going to do it with the help of Al Groh's kid. Got it. But now Robert Kraft's kid wants to help as well. And I just, in my experience, that typically is not the right structure to make the biggest decision the Patriots will have made for the last 10 years or the next 10 years. Which
next
is what
10 years?
Well, you hope to not. Do you hope to be drafting the top three again anytime soon?
No, but I mean,
okay. So it's pretty big decision. Pretty big decision. And so, I mean, I know what I would do if I were them, which is hold an auction for the pick. But when the boss wants you to draft a quarterback, that probably means you're going to end up drafting a quarterback. And when the boss's son is overseeing the process, they're almost assuredly going to be drafting a quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, you listed a hierarchy of children, and the hierarchy where you're the owner's son. That one wins.
Yeah, no.
That's how it works. Yeah. And look, there's no power vacuum. You go and you hire a young head coach and you hire a young GM to solidify power. And then that power is now solidified in ownership's hands. And I get it. For 20 plus years, they haven't had that ability to insert their ideas, to do the things they want to do, because they had so much success with the way that Bill did it. And I'm sure, like anybody who owns something, they want to be able to have an impact. To have some input on it. And what ownership doesn't realize is that when they make suggestions, they'll say, hey, I'm just suggesting this. It's not a suggestion to the people who are on the football side. It's a, okay, we better go give him what he wants. Mm-hmm. Now, if it works, they're like, hey, didn't I have a great idea? And if it doesn't, it's like, it was only a suggestion. Why'd you do that? and that's always the case. Like, well, I thought that's what you want us. I was just suggesting it. And it's not really, you know, I wasn't saying you had to do it. I just thought it might have been a good idea to explore.
No, I agree with that. Look, they obviously had the plan for the head coach when they got rid of Bill.
Yeah,
they didn't have the full plan for the front office, and that's the problem. And like you said, I mean, Elliot Wolf, can you imagine being in this position where you don't have the job yet? It's going to be reevaluated after the draft, and the owner said, "I'd love a quarterback." Like. It's crazy.
I mean,
madness.
I don't mind that part. It's a great job interview.
Yeah.
You get to see how he runs the room. You get to see how he works.
But don't muddy the water by then telling him what to. If I know I'm interviewing with you you want to see how well I do in this situation, but then you tell me what you want me to do. No matter what I think is best, if I want the job, I'm going to do what will make you happy.
Yeah, and the problem with evaluators is you really don't get a full view of who the player is for 2 or 3 years anyways.
Right.
You really need to let him have the job for a couple years to truly evaluate how well he did.
Okay. Big whatever.
What do you mean?
Big whatever.
Why
what
is that
mean?
A big whatever?
You have a fan do it. I'm worried about pick 34. The last four 34s, Laporta, Christian Watson, Elijah Moore, Michael Pittman. I think 34 is hard to pick. I don't think 3 is hard to pick. Hey, is Caleb there?
No.
No, he's gone on the Bears. Like, oh, okay, that's what I thought. Is Drake May there?
No.
Yeah, he's available. Good, hey, take him. Is Jaden there?
Hey, is Trey Lance there?
Right.
Oh. There's 3 guys. Yeah. Take the one that's there.
Wait, but so...
It's not, we're making this so crazy.
But wait a second.
There's 3 guys.
Look at how many failures at 2 and 3 you've had.
But also...
Don't overcomplicate it. There are 3 guys.
But there's also this part of it.
Down to 2 guys.
There's also this part of it. We have seen in the last few years, we saw the New York Jets trade the 6th pick and 3 second rounders for the 3rd pick. That's the precedent if the Giants want to move up. We saw the Niners trade the 12th pick and 2 firsts and a 3rd for the 3rd pick.
Yeah, we'll take that.
Don't. Well, no. Not a, you said it doesn't matter.
If you want to give me multiple firsts for
but
3,
available.
I'll take it.
But that is definitively available.
They said it's not available.
It is definitive. Well, someone's going to trade multiple firsts for a pick later.
I'll take it.
3.
Everybody thinks trades are so easy to make. There's got to be someone that's willing to give you what you want.
There is going to be a multiple first-round pick trade to move into the top 10.
It's not always that easy.
Okay, but you're not going to because the guy making the decision was told by the owner to draft a quarterback.
No.
That's why it's a problem.
We are going to draft
a
quarterback next year then.
Okay, but that's why it's a problem.
The Shador.
No, I don't love Shador. Live from New York, it's the show that could do the Patriots draft themselves if they had the opportunity. It's not that difficult.
You're just as qualified.
That's not true.
No, I'm giving you a compliment.
Jonathan Kraft.
I was giving you a compliment, Wild.
No, you were insulting my favorite team.
Well, it's one way to look at it.
Second hour. First. Today, Jayden Daniels' bold claim that he wants to be better than Michael Vick. And Lamar Jackson. We made a story about this, but when Caleb said he wants to chase Tom Brady, we're like, oh, that's great. Meanwhile.
We did both in the same segment of the show one day apart.
You didn't want Coach to get his teeth on that story, so he did it yesterday. Meanwhile, Reggie Bush gets his Heisman back.
Good for Reggie.
Why, one person here thinks Reggie Bush should have said, you know what, keep it.
Really?
On protest.
I think they should let LeBron go back and play those 2 high school games they suspended him for.
Oh, for the Hummer.
For the Hummer. Yeah. Let him go crush
right. That's true.
That was very ridiculous. True.
That was ridiculous.
All these things are so stupid.
Yeah. We also owe Terrell Pryor a couple NFL games that he got suspended for getting free tattoos.
Goodness. I'll get you up to speed on what's been happening. While updating their group of rivals, an elite group of scientists, academics, and people who debated whether 2.0 meant better or just the next version, fought and toiled and burned the midnight oil to concoct the best segment in all of sports television. It's an honor and a privilege. It's time for Game 3, NBA Tiers. You like that?
It's not necessarily Game 3.
Well, what game's coming up?
Well, tonight's a bunch of Game 2s.
Oh, shoot.
So we'll call it Week 2 Playoff Tiers. So you're fine, Wild.
Well,
don't worry about
Celtics.
It. You're in Trozor.
I've advanced past that series.
You've already moved on to the 2 series
of the 1-8.
I understand. All right. 16 teams still remaining. 16 teams on the tiers. Bottom row. It'll be over soon. Listen, Miami, no Jimmy Butler, this isn't going to last long.
No.
The Pelicans, hey, Pelicans to their credit, I know we didn't talk about it.
Well.
They played really well, and it does make you wonder, could they throw a scare in Oklahoma City if Zion were to come back? But I don't think he's going to.
I don't see him back.
And then there's Orlando. I feel for Orlando because they had such a great season. They just can't score the basketball. Great defensive team. They should really go hard after Paul George this offseason, just throwing it out there. All right, sorry, not sorry. Listen, this might feel low for 2 teams that could advance this round. You know, in the Cavs case or in the Pacers case, maybe potentially even make a conference finals depending on, you know, the injuries to Philly. Or I guess the Knicks would be the favorite in that series if they get there. But I just flatly don't believe in either team as a legitimate contender to make the finals. The Cavs, in my opinion, don't have enough offense. The Pacers don't have enough defense. Unsettling offseason ahead. So what are you going to do? Phoenix has no moves for a team that makes no sense. The Clippers have a 3-year, $150 million contract to Kawhi Leonard that kicks in this offseason. Is that untradeable? Like, is that, even if you wanted to move it, could you? And then what are you going to do if Paul George leaves? Give James Harden a bunch of money? That'll work out great. It's just a really rough offseason for both these teams, who I believe seasons will end in the next 10 days. Trying to avoid disaster. So Philadelphia at this point is on a four-game playoff losing streak. Only, you know, a couple games long in the Lakers' current playoff losing streak. if you really think about it. Since Kawhi's buzzer beater, they got swept by Boston. They lost a Game 7 at home to Trae Young. They were tied 2-2 to Miami and lost two in a row. They were tied 3-2 to Boston and lost two in a row. And now they have lost the opening two of this series. Milwaukee, since the title, up 3-2 against Boston, lost two in a row, and then lost in round one last year. They've won one series since winning the title. They, both of these teams desperately have to find a way to get out of round one and regroup with their stars healthier or at least finally healthy. All right, this is where the committee turned on me a bit, but it is a bit, while my vote counts for double, it does not count for, you know, the majority of the room. Maybe Nick was wrong. That's what they named this tier.
Wow.
Maybe, I don't know whether you're laughing, Gru. I don't know why you're showing wilds either. Maybe the whole the Lakers should want to play Denver in round one was a little mistaken. I still think the logic was there and it made sense.
It was close.
But.
It wouldn't have been close otherwise.
But here's what I'll tell you. Here's what watching the Lakers in the first couple games and watching OKC in their first game of round one, it did get the committee thinking, yeah, the Lakers probably would have rather played OKC just at least for the longevity of their season. All right, next, lurking dangerously, the Dallas Mavericks. Okay. Luka's scaring everybody right now. Telling you, Luke is not even playing that well. No. And he is already snarling and swaggering. Kyrie is healthy and playing well. And they are a team somewhat lurking in the shadows that nobody wants to play. And that I know Brew is going to pick to be in the conference finals once they beat his Clippers.
OKC or the Pelicans.
All right. Well, if it is 90s basketball, if it is 90s basketball that we're playing, how about a team with Michael Jordan 2.0? Not better, just newer. And you know what I mean? And a great, great defenders all around him. A couple of good bigs. Or what about the New York Knicks just trying to play prison ball at all times? If these playoffs really are 90s basketball once again, you have to reevaluate how you think of these two defensive-minded teams that have bigs, that have strength, that have one kind of not super efficient but dynamic scorer. I'm interested in it. 4-week season. I mean, just wake me in the conference finals, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Boston. Yeah. You're too good. Yeah. Too good in the regular season, and then the playoff matchups, you're going to get an injured Heat team, and then you're going to get the Cavs.
I thought it was game three.
Wilds has already skipped ahead. I mean, you're in a weird spot where you're a victim of your own success almost at this point and how the bracket fell. And then last but not least, rarefied air. If they were to pull this off, who have been the best player on back-to-back champions? NBA history. Mike and Russell Magic, Zeke, MJ Akeem, Shaq, then Kobe, LeBron, and then debate Steph or Durant. That's the list. Jokic would join that list. He would join those list of teams from, or you know, Mikan's Minneapolis team, Russell's Celtics, Showtime Lakers, Jordan's Bulls Dream, the Pistons, we know them. There's only 10 teams, guys. It's only 10 guys. That's what the Nuggets are shooting for, and that, Brew, is this week's edition of The Tiers.
Pretty good.
Not bad. Look, I get you. Maybe you did this for your cute little titles. But we got to switch to LA teams. I mean, what are we talking about?
That's a good point.
Like, you would one actually, even if you think Dallas is going to win, right now one has a chance, a legitimate chance to win their series.
One's undefeated. The Clippers. The other has lost.
All right? The Clippers actually have a legitimate chance to win their series.
They lost a home game.
You know they're the third best road team in the league. Second best road team in the West.
And the Lakers are one of the best road teams in basketball. How about that? Huh.
They aren't.
One of the best home teams in basketball?
Oh,
yes. Home teams.
Oh,
what I say, because the Lakers haven't got their home games yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
The Lakers don't have a chance. It's over. The only chance we say is it's LeBron.
But
LeBron's still 39. AD doesn't do it. Show up in the fourth quarter.
Okay.
All right? I'm just saying.
Sure.
You might find him on the bud list tomorrow. So that he's got to switch.
Hey, don't let's not promote
into
the
your
bud list amidst some tears.
No. Nick, you know it. They have to switch.
I don't think the Clippers are better than the Lakers.
It doesn't matter who's better. They got a chance to win. Are the Knicks better than the Lakers?
Right now, yeah.
Now stop.
What do you mean?
The Clippers 90s basketball. Have a better chance of advancing than the Lakers.
But they don't have a better chance of winning the title.
Is this title pie?
It's rich the tapestry.
Are the Lakers winning? Are they winning four of the next five games against Denver?
Well, obviously, I can't tell you that until the series starts. Right? And as of now, the series has not started. What I know is this. The number one objective of playoff basketball is to win your home games. The Lakers have not lost a home game. The Clippers just lost one last night in embarrassing fashion.
It's a fair
I know
embarrassing,
that.
They lost by three. But, with their best player
and the Lakers
on
lost
leg.
On a buzzer beater on the road. That's what I know.
For the 10th straight time.
This is not a rich tapestry, okay? This is tears. Rich tapestry is king of the hill.
They're all rich tapestry.
Then none of them are.
That means they don't make sense. So when any argument you have, he can counter it because there's no criteria.
This is just which
but
teams
are the
best.
But the names are cute. They match.
Yeah, it's a little bit.
All the names.
You were an English major. I thought you'd appreciate that.
Yeah, that's cute. But you cute. Just need to
rearrange. I was a journalism major. The only one on this show, and I think it shows sometimes.
Were you a journalism major?
Of course. Broadcast journalism.
Broadcast.
You majored in carpentry.
That's a different. Broadcast journalism?
That is very different.
I'm sorry. From the number one broadcast journalism school in the world.
I'm just saying, broadcast journalism and, like, print journalism is.
Okay, well, go talk to the kids at Newhouse for that. Go ahead. Do your thing.
Send them an email. It's time to worry about the Bucks, everybody. Just want to drive this home. One, and this is, I've said this a while ago and I was roundly mocked. Shams had a report today that Giannis can't run. I don't know how high you want the Bucks to be when their franchise player can't run. Reason number two. That's it. Do we need more analysis? The guy can't run.
Pretty much all.
I'm the only one worried about this. Oh, he'll be fine.
You're not the only one worried about it.
I got the.
I was worried about it weeks, months ago.
You were first to this. Congrats, Wild.
Good win,
buddy.
You got the.
He's fine. I saw him in the finals. Sprain his knee, and he came back and had 50 points.
You said he was writhing in pain. That's all. We made fun of your overstatement.
And then he's just walking up the court. Ah, yeah, I'm worried about it. I'm the only one.
You're not the only one anymore.
No one cares. No one out there.
No one in the Bucks was even worried.
Guys, it's a big deal. Finally, Dame. Playing great in the first half. What's going on? I'll give you the first game. I had 35. Okay. We were up huge.
He relaxed.
I can take a break. Last game, he had 8 points. It needed him to show up. It's kind of odd. To average 4 points in the second half of two playoff games. That's all I'm saying.
I'm good.
Finally, you know, Jay-Z has a line. I don't know what song it is, and it's not even a particularly excellent line, but it's stuck in my head. It's, you are who you are when you got here. You're not changing. The Bucks are now 18-20 under Doc Rivers. So as much as we think that the Bucks are great and the Bucks have a chance, when this season ends, I'll be like, oh, what was their record? Oh, 19-23? I don't even know if that works math-wise. I know. I'm just saying. The fact that this team has been about 500 and is going to be bounced from the playoffs.
Basically, you got them losing in six.
Yeah, that 19, yeah.
But could you see it? And could you see the post-game press conference? Like, man, we didn't have enough time. And Giannis can't run.
Well, there's a legit excuse for Doc. He does have a legit excuse.
What is it?
Giannis, what was your first point, buddy? Giannis can't run.
Right.
Dame's no good. What about Dame? Dame can't beat the Pacers?
No, I think he can, but if your best player goes down, it is a legitimate excuse.
Even if they go up 3-1, they're in a bad spot. Jaden Daniels ran for over 1,100 yards last year at LSU. Weighed in on some of the game's greatest dual threat QBs, saying Vic was the first. But Lamar's got him now. I'm trying to go past them. Okay. Nick, your reaction. Someone's got to be the bad guy.
What do they call me, Wilds?
The bad guy.
No, that's not what they call me.
Unrealistic.
The mean guy? Mr. Consistency.
The mean.
I have a few rules when it comes to drafting quarterbacks.
Okay.
I'm just going to show you guys a picture, and you guys tell me if this looks like an NFL quarterback from his size. Guys.
Well,
guys,
I think that's a strange.
Okay, he's 6'4".
He's 6'4". I like that a lot.
He's 6'4". Hold on, I'm going to show you something else in a moment. He's 6'4", under 200 pounds. Wilds once upon a time.
He's listed at 210.
Coach, I understand he weighed in at his pro day at 210, which means he walks around at 195. That we all know that. He is.
He gained 15 pounds.
Guys, okay.
Yeah, Ryan Garcia
first of all, yes, you can. And second of all, what you show, you see the highlights. He's too skinny.
He's flying.
What's his injury history?
He's too skinny.
No.
Oh, he hasn't played in pro football yet.
And he's
what was Kyler's injury history, guys? He was too little. But here's the other thing. He's skinny and old. And so do you know who was on the field in his first? So this is the oldest first round quarterback
I have not been accused
in the last 25 years. One hit. One no question hit. Joe Burrow. Carson Palmer.
Carson Palmer,
fine. That's fine. Guys.
Tannehill, I would count.
You would count?
Tannehill was your franchise quarterback
for the
a while.
No. He was a franchise quarterback for a
Wentz
different team.
Wentz was an MVP candidate at one point. I'm just saying.
Wentz had a great three-month stretch.
It was
okay,
it was
guys,
odd.
If you guys are going to somehow say this is a good graphic, that's fine. Well, Jaden Daniels' first good game as a college player. He threw a couple touchdown passes to Brandon Ayuk, and he out-dueled Justin Herbert.
Herbert.
Let me ask this question, and we'll move on. Do you think Bruce Sam Howell is a franchise quarterback in the NFL?
No. Okay. Well, but I think the jury's still out.
Okay.
I think he could.
Okay, so I don't think jury's out, but that's fine.
I think it's possible.
Sam Howell would look awesome in college football. They're the same high school class, guys. Like, of course he's going to look great.
We could have said the same thing about Burrow, though.
But Burrow's the only guy. And so, but Burrow at least isn't as skinny as I am. I just too skinny and too old.
I like Jaden, and I actually think running the football. I mean, he obviously ran for a lot more yards than Michael Vick did in college, and he's not as good of a runner as Lamar. But he runs a 4.3 just like Lamar and Vic. And
Lamar's neck is bigger than his thighs.
He's a better pocket passer at this point. And has better presence in the pocket than both of those guys at this stage. I actually think he can be really good.
But what do you mean at this stage, though? Because at this
age. In college.
But he's the age of Lamar when Lamar was a unanimous NFL MVP, is my point. That's my point. What would Lamar have looked like at 24 years old in college?
So look, he's had some injuries, which is why he's an older quarterback, and I understand that. First of all, I hate the comments that I'm going to be like Lamar and Michael Vick. Like, you don't need to set those expectations.
I hate
that part.
I told you
about it. But in terms of watching him, when you watch this guy pull the ball down and go, it's really impressive. And he does get blown up sometimes. But here's the thing.
Here's the thing you can't teach.
You can't teach height. So he's 6'4", and he's a little bit undersized. Let him stay at my house for a month. I'll get him a 230. No problem. Okay, we'll get him. It won't even be an issue.
You put weight on him.
But you can gain weight. But Nick thinks that he's going to have a problem as a rusher. Let's show this graphic. Let's introduce a new graphic. So here's Jaden Daniels' size, 6'4", 210. These are the greatest rushing quarterbacks in NFL history.
Look at Randall.
Okay. Yeah. Michael
Nicely
Vick,
done,
Russell
coach.
Wilson, first, yeah. third, Same fourth, fifth, sixth.
Yes.
Okay, there they are. Look at their sizes. They're all comparable
No,
sizes.
They're not comparable sizes.
Yeah, he's a little bit taller.
He's not a little bit taller.
Randall Cunningham, 6'4".
Guys, can I tell you something?
Same as Randall.
I'm 6'1", 175. I am not a comparable size to someone who's 5'7", 175. I'm not.
Guys in pro football with a weight program, with a meal plan.
He's been in college 6 years. They have weight programs.
It depends on what college you're at.
LSU doesn't have a weight room? What are we talking about? He's at LSU.
If you want to think that every college has the same program and the same ability to put weight on guys, it's different.
He's been in two colleges. But if you're Arizona State and LSU.
So if you're going to deny that the top five of the top six rushers are of comparable size.
They're not a comparable size.
Randall Cunningham was exactly the same.
Well, he's 2 inches shorter and 5 pounds heavier, or 2 pounds heavier. But again, I don't think he's a true 210, first of all. Second of all, I've been around Michael Vick. We all have. Michael Vick is not skinny. Michael Vick is cut and in shape and thick. Lamar has the neck of an inside linebacker. Like, this, again.
And you don't think he's going to be able to gain any weight?
I think if he could gain weight, he would have. It's the same thing I said about Chet. Now, Chet is a different sport, and he has stayed healthy. But the whole
idea.
You
didn't think Wimby could stay
healthy. We'll see on that. But that's basketball players.
They're not getting tackled.
The idea. Oh,
but I'm just
that's
saying,
the
just
idea.
The same
that he could gain a bunch of weight and has chosen not to, I don't buy. And
he
I don't think he's going to have the ability to
gain 10 to 15 pounds.
He would have.
Are you kidding?
I'm saying he would have. He's been in
really
college.
Been hurt like
he could be a dentist by now. He's been in college.
Budless tomorrow. Brew, controversy in the E Block where he started to advertise the Budless during Nick's segment.
Brew, don't know.
In the bylaws, that's a no-no.
No, it's fine.
It really is.
You know what? It's no problem. I like the Budless. I'm proud that our segment was a piece of it.
Medals time. Third quarter, Mavs Clippers. Great pass from Kyrie, who ends up with 23, 6, and 3 on the night in a big Mavs win.
Speaking of great passes, that Luka pass at the end was either a great pass or a totally risky, unnecessary bounce pass that could have cost him the game. Bronze medal, Jaden McDaniels, leading scorer. Literally 100-1 that he would have been the leading scorer in this game for both teams. 25 points, 8 rebounds, great defense. Silver medal, I mean, just the most dominant player in the playoffs, I guess. Pascal Siakam, just giving you 36-10 every single night. They win over the Bucks. And then a gold medal, my large adult Slovenian son, 32-6-9. About 75 F-bombs, probably deserved 6 or 7 technicals. Just the full package. Loved every second of it. There's the podium from last night in the association.
Checking out some old college football. Congratulations to Reggie Bush, who is getting his Heisman back. The Heisman Trust basically saying, our bad, times change. Citing NIL as an accepted practice that appears here to stay. Brew, your reaction.
Well, obviously, everybody's happy for him. I never started thinking of him as not a Heisman winner, but it's nice that he can now, you know, enjoy the fellowship with the guys and all the official stuff. But I hate when they will punish the kids, though, right? It's the adults who were involved in these situations who were the ones that really were in the wrong. So I'm glad it's been righted.
I echo all that. Also, for our younger audience that wasn't, you know, watching sports during this season, there is no better way to spend 30 minutes on YouTube than Reggie Bush USC highlights. I wasn't old enough to see Barry Sanders at Oklahoma State. I've seen the numbers, and the numbers are eye-popping. So with respect to that, I can't imagine anyone ever played the college running back position better than
8.5.
Also on YouTube. You should check that out.
I understand what I'm saying.
You've never seen it.
They don't have as much of it.
It's got a little orange jersey. Speak is next.